Let us pray. We thank Thee, our Father, for Thy presence in every joy and sorrow, in every task and trial of our lives. Thou art the one who forgiveth our iniquities and healeth our diseases. And we remember in Thy presence those who struggle night and day with illness, including those whom we mention in the silence of our hearts. Be with those who discover Thy presence in situations of human need throughout the world today, and who give themselves without reservation to the healing of the hurts of Thy children. Be with those who study and teach on this campus, that we may have keen theological insights, compassionate hearts, and true faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us read responsively selection number 4. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. As most of you know, Dr. Mark Lovelace has accepted appointment to the faculty of Stetson University, effective September 1, 1968. Prior to the decision, we expressed to him the earnest and sincere hope that he would continue his ministry in this community of learning. We expressed also our confidence in his ability to discern the leadership of God and to make sound decisions. We appreciate the purpose and quality of the scholarly work which he has done here, and we want him to know that he will be in our thoughts and prayers as he devotes his energy to the new task at Stetson University. In the days ahead, we trust we will have opportunity to express both informally and formally our affection and our best wishes to a dear colleague. In the last paragraph of the Old Testament, there is an intriguing reference to the role of Elijah the prophet. It is stated that he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. In these moments of reflection, I should like to say three things which I believe are derived from this intriguing verse. First, in a time of rapid social change, there is special need for an open channel of communication between parents and children. The fathers and mothers are under strain, and the children are under strain. If they accept one another and love one another, they can learn to communicate with one another. And this communication enables fathers to interpret life for their children. At the last White House Conference on Children and Youth, we were reminded that children are excellent observers, but very poor interpreters. We were reminded also that through radio and television, they are exposed to ideas and actions very early in life, and that they need interpreters. Interpreters who know what is taking place in the world. Interpreters who are alert to teachable moments in the minds of children and youth. Interpreters who are genuinely interested in the questions of the human mind and in the wistfulness of the human heart. We were reminded further that pediatricians spend about 60% of their time interpreting children to their mothers, in order that mothers may more adequately understand their children. You and I are called to a ministry of interpretation. And we are to keep our minds and hearts open to the fathers and to the children and to the Holy Spirit. In the second place, thoughtful and friendly fathers and children have an opportunity not only to understand one another, but also to encourage one another. The process of human growth takes place in a family. The family lives in a community, and a community is related to the social order. In these dynamic contexts, fathers and children are aware of affinities and kinship, and partly on the basis of affinities and kinship, they encourage one another through verbal and nonverbal communication. They express a sense of solidarity, a desire for friendly cooperation, a capacity for what Henry Churchill King identified as mutual self-revelation and answering trust. This kind of acceptance, reliance, trust, encouragement refines and fortifies a person at every stage of human endeavor. I remember the inward strength to endure the strain of a long and rigorous journey that came partly through the lucid mind, clear voice, and unanticipated words of a child who had not learned how to pronounce the letter L, but who said spontaneously as I left, "Good yuck, Granddaddy." This is encouragement. This is the turning of the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers and to the grandfathers. And third, if religious leaders, and you understand, I don't know how precisely to exegete this last paragraph of the last chapter in the Old Testament. I don't know precisely how Elijah is related to it, but he was a religious leader. If religious leaders in this revolutionary age turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, they will participate in the clarification and preservation of values. In this connection, it is helpful to study the meaning of the words continuance, continuation, and continuity. Continuance means to last. For example, the pyramids have lasted a long time. Continuation means to prolong. For example, the construction of the student center on this campus has been somewhat prolonged. However, it is almost completed, and we trust will be of great value to students and teachers and friends. Continuity means continuous. For example, the learning process is continuous in the life of a scholar. And love is continuous in the relationship between a father and his children. Not even crucifixion could destroy the values in the life of Jesus Christ. I have heard people refer to the failure of Jesus at the cross. He did not fail. At the cross, his confidence in the power of truth was not destroyed. His love of persons did not disappear. His redemptive mission on earth was not defeated. The continuity of values in a decisive age sharpens insight and strengthens devotion to a dream. A few years ago, Dr. Willard F. Sperry of Harvard University, whom some of us knew and loved, wrote these words. I read over not long ago the baccalaureate sermons preached at Harvard during the Civil War. That war was hardly mentioned, and that only is something quite apart from the life of Harvard University, which apparently went on in its normal and quiet way. Such isolation, such exemption, is no longer possible to men in history. Whatever else your criticism of things may be, he added, you can never say that you have not lived in a decisive age, or that the world has offered you only trivial tasks, which will leave no mark on history. As you and I participate in the clarification and the continuity of the values to which we are dedicated, we are not engaged upon a trivial task. We are engaged upon the central task. Recently, I had a letter from a graduate of this school, from which I venture to quote. I shall not use his name because I have not secured his permission to quote. This year I am in Vietnam, ministering to the spiritual needs of our young men. I live most of the time on a ship and serve with a combined Army-Navy force. It's a tragic thing to see fine, healthy young men blown apart or maimed for life. I pray for the day the war can be ended and the people of South Vietnam can become a part of a stable nation and enjoy freedom in the world. I have a great deal of confidence in these young men who grow up fast and who learn the meaning of sacrifice. Hopefully, I believe that in future years, they will exert constructive efforts at home for world peace. Here is a graduate of this school who is devoted to the clarification and the continuity of a high value and a great dream. And you and I have an opportunity, do we not, in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers in a very meaningful undertaking on earth. Let us pray. Enlarge our minds, O God, that we may see with greater clarity and depth the opportunity Thou hast placed before us in what appears to be a decisive age in the history of Thy people. Guide and sustain us by Thy Spirit, that we may be constructive children of Thine, turning our hearts to Thee through Jesus Christ, our Lord.